Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today I will be sharing a message from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. The title of the message, The Day of Pentecost. Again, this message will be coming from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, may your name be made holy. May your will be done on earth on this day. Help us now in this moment to hear clearly from the words of your scripture so that we can know more about your goodness and live in such a way that pleases you. Give us the focus that we need in this special moment that you have given us. We love you, Lord. In all things, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we will continue a sermon series entitled Being Witnesses of Jesus as we study through the book of Acts. If you would like to hear additional messages on the passages before this, please check out our website at shorecommunitybible.org. I would recommend for you to get the most out of these messages that it's possible that you will have your Bible handy and maybe write some notes in a notebook or save it in a folder. That way, as we progress through the book of Acts, you can have all the references in the same place when you study and review, but also if the opportunity presents itself to share this information with other people. So as we look at these scriptures in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, what we will hear, understand, and apply the wisdom found here on why Christians must submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of Jesus. In these scriptures today, we will see that the power of the Holy Spirit is made clear by his presence. Also, we will see that the power of the Holy Spirit produces worship. And lastly, the power of the Holy Spirit will invoke a response. Let's open the Bible, if you have not already. Acts chapter 2, I will be reading the New King James Version. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?'" Verse 8, "And how is that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." Here we see the promise of the Father, which was spoke of in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. We see in the text of how the Holy Spirit has appeared and empowered the believers to speak and allow all the people to hear the wonders of God. That is an encouragement here on today, also because believers in Jesus Christ are still empowered even right now on this day by the Holy Spirit to witness to all people. So due to the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of Jesus, this is a message to urge Christians to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be witnesses of Jesus. As we look at the first set of verses 1 through 4, the first principle to know is that the power of the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear. Verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost means 50th day. It was the start of the new Jewish holiday, which occurred 50 days after Passover. Pentecost was observed at the time of the grain harvest and the offering of the first fruits. It was one of the three annual Jewish festivals, along with Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. Pentecost was also known as the Festival of Weeks and the Festival of Harvest. In Jesus' time, Pentecost was associated with the promised covenant made with Noah and then with Moses. Pentecost is significant to our time because just as Jesus' sacrifice was a fulfillment of Passover, the coming of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of Pentecost. Now, we can't help but notice that verse 1 says that they were all with one accord in one place. The they here is referring to the 120-something or more people that were in the upper room gathered together praying and fellowshipping together. To be in one accord means to be a people of one mind, one passion, one commitment. We can all agree of how great it is to be unified in anything. It is great to be unified in your marriage. It is great to be unified with your children, unified on family issues with your relatives, as well as being unified with your friends. Also, just like we see here, it is great to be unified in the church. Verse 2 says that, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It says, and suddenly, don't miss that word suddenly. To be sudden, it means to be unexpected, to occur quickly, or to happen without any prior cause. The believers were together on one accord and sitting, and without any interference or cause by them, a sound appeared from heaven. This sound was very unique. It was hard to describe. In fact, to describe it, Luke, the one who writes the book of Acts, says that this sound was one as of a rushing mighty wind. It sounded like a rushing mighty wind. Here, the experience is so hard to describe that the author has to use a simile to help the person who would be hearing this get a better understanding. Sometimes, in addition to the use of similes, metaphors are used also. Both of these figure of speeches are used to help us connect the dots, or in other words, to help us understand a concept. The use of similes and metaphors does this by comparing something that is unfamiliar to something that is familiar to help the listener understand. A metaphor compares by saying that something is another. For example, an example of a metaphor is saying to a person, "You are the salt of the earth." A simile uses words such as "like" or "as" to show comparison. An example of a simile will be something like quoting what Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." Here, the simile that is used in verse 2 is used to describe the sound from heaven, which sounded like a mighty rushing wind. This sound is the first evidence that supports that the power of the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear, because the people that were there were able to hear it. They heard the sound, and this sound filled the whole room. In addition to hearing the sound of the Holy Spirit, another evidence that was made clear by the Holy Spirit was due to the fact that they could see the evidence. Verse 3 says that then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They first heard, and now they see. What did they see? The text says that they saw divided tongues. Since this was such an amazing experience, which was so hard to describe again, Luke again uses a simile to describe the divided tongues. He described the divided tongues as a fire. Just imagine the look, shape, and color of a flame. These divided tongues, each set upon each of them. This means that each person there received the Holy Spirit. It was just not Peter or John or the other 10 apostles. It was everyone assembled there in the upper room who received the Holy Spirit. Everyone received the power. That is so important for us to understand today. The fact that if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, which means that you have been made him Lord and Savior of your life, then the Holy Spirit lives within you. We were told in a previous message from Acts chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses of Jesus. In other words, if you are a believer of Jesus, it is important to know that it doesn't matter your name, education, address, any social affiliations. The only thing that matters is how effective you are of being a witness of Jesus and how you are being an effective witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. In addition to hearing the sound and seeing the divided tongues, it's important for you to take notice that these similes that were being used were actually providing additional evidence of the Holy Spirit. To understand what I'm talking about, you must think about the significance of the word wind and fire. Wind and fire are biblical representations of the presence of God. This third evidence here in the text that the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear is, in addition to hearing the sound and the sight of the divided tongues, the Holy Spirit was experienced. Verse 4 says that, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Utterance means to speak out, to speak forth, to pronounce. This speaking in tongues was not some unknown or heavenly spiritual language being expressed. Instead, it was recognizable language that was understood. This is true because the word in its original language for tongue that is used here is glossa, which means that it is the language or dialect used by a particular people, distinct from any other nation. This conclusion is supported as we look down further in the text. The scripture says that they were filled with the Spirit, and believers are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It is important to distinguish the difference between being baptized with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. The phrase baptized in the Holy Spirit was first talked about by John the Baptist. It is recorded in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're told in the Gospels of how John the Baptist repeatedly told those who were listening that he only baptized with water, but Jesus would be the one to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. As far as the difference between being baptized with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit has to do with being born again or having to do with the process of regeneration. The baptism of the Spirit is how God will identify the believers with the head of the church, with Jesus. Being filled with the Spirit has to do with the power to serve and to be a witness of Jesus. To be filled with the Spirit is something that we must continuously pray for and seek. The question for us may be, how can I continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit? First, to be filled with the Spirit, you must have the Spirit indwelling within you. To have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you means that you have been baptized with the Spirit, means that you have been genuinely converted and have salvation from eternal death, from the life of sin that you once lived. Another way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be around those others who are Spirit-filled. Those people who are on one accord in faith and in deed. Reading and studying God's word fills us with the Spirit. Praying to God, our Heavenly Father, to fill us and to help us flee from temptation and being free of the traps of sin helps us to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Verses 1 through 4, we learn that the power of the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear. In those verses, his presence is made clear through the sound that was heard, through the divided tongues that was seen, and the filling of the Spirit that was experienced by the believers who were given the ability to speak in other tongues. In the next set of verses that we will look at, verses 5 through 11, we will see the principle that the power of the Holy Spirit produces worship. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit produces worship. Verse 5 says that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. In Bible times, a Jew was a member of the tribe of Judah. The word devout means that they were dedicated and had great reverence for God. The fact that these devout Jews were still in Jerusalem could have meant that they had been there for the 50 days since Passover. Every nation was there. We are told in verse 6 that when this sound occurred, this sound of the rushing mighty wind, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Let us not miss the fact that the people from every nation were confused, not because of some unknown tongue or spiritual language, but the Bible says that they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. To be extremely clear, the word for language in the Greek text here is dialectos, which means conversation, speech, and language. To be specific, it is the tongue of a specific peculiar people. In other words, it is the everyday language. To us, we will refer to English or Spanish or French or Haitian Creole. These are dialectos, in other words, that we are familiar with. Even if you cannot personally speak some of these languages yourself, you are familiar with or know people who speak these languages. Verse 7 says, "Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?'" To add to this extraordinary time that was taking place, the people were confused because these who were speaking in the different language, they were Galileans. Galileans were seen as ignorant and uneducated. Now, maybe you can relate. Have you ever been in a situation when someone was surprised when you spoke in a different language to a friend or a fellow coworker? And this would be extremely surprising, especially if they knew that you had no formal training in this language, that you just may have just picked it up just by listening or just by hearing or possibly being filled by the Spirit. Here in verse 8, the people were asking, "And how is it that we hear each our own language in which we were born?" The people were hearing in their own language. The Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. These people from the 15 different nations here in the scripture that were mentioned were from all over. Looking at the map, these nations were not grouped together, but they were spread out. These different nations were represented and it highlights that the message for Jesus is for all people. The multitude still marveling, saying in verse 11 that we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. These believers of Christ, these Galileans who were now talking in the known languages of the various nations of those that were represented there, were not just speaking any old thing, but they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. That leads us to our second principle to help us understand the power of the Holy Spirit. That principle is that the power of the Holy Spirit produces worship. The power of the Holy Spirit produces worship. As we look at the last two verses, verses 12 and 13, we read that they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." In these verses, we will see our last principle, which is the power of the Holy Spirit will invoke a response. The power of the Holy Spirit will invoke a response. Some said, "What does this mean?" In other words, some people knew that this was not normal behavior, and this may be an event that they would never see again. They did not know exactly what it meant, but the fact that they said, "What could this mean?" implies that they were curious. They knew something serious was happening, and they wanted to know how was this going to affect them. But yet, despite of the sound from heaven, hearing these Galileans speaking the other languages, some mocked and said they are full of wine. In other words, they're just drunk, speaking out of their minds. Unfortunately, this response showed the level of the hardness of hearts that they could not receive what God was doing. And this is a lesson for us here, and it is simple. That lesson is when serving the Lord, some will be changed while others will mock you. When you have the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus, be prepared to answer the questions that they may have. Even if you are not able to answer all of their questions, commit yourself to finding out the answers to those questions and following up with the conversation. On the other hand, don't be surprised that during these times that people will be mean, disrespectful, and possibly even become violent. The bottom line is that you must remain faithful and being witnesses in our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we must remember, we cannot be effective witnesses for Jesus in our own might, but instead, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't help but note here of how the Pentecost is a reversal of the judgment of the Tower of Babel when God confused man's language. To help see clearly what I'm talking about, if you would, let's look at Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they began to do now. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, it came called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth." Here at the Tower of Babel, we were told that at one time that all the peoples of the earth had one language, but they decided to not use that one language to glorify God, but instead to build a tower so that they can glorify themselves. God in his sovereignty created multiple languages so that they would be scattered and could no longer be unified in their efforts to glorify themselves. Here at the day of Pentecost, the bringing together of all of the languages and for them to hear in their own language the wonderful works of God is a testament that regardless of man's past sin, that God's ultimate plan since the beginning of time has been to reconcile his human creation to himself. And the fact that they were able to hear their own languages by the apostles, the wonderful works of God, lets us know and being reminded that the day of Pentecost helps to unify believers. The fact that the message of Jesus Christ is for all people, all languages, all nations, all tribes, every tongue. We must glorify God. We must be effective witnesses of Jesus, not by our own might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have learned here that the power of the Holy Spirit is made clear because his presence is clear. We had the sound, we had the experience, and we had the sight. Also, we know the power of the Holy Spirit produces worship, because these Galileans, being filled with the Spirit, spoke in the tongues of the nations who were represented. They glorify God. They worship him. And furthermore, we know that the power of the Holy Spirit invokes a response. Some who heard, they marveled. They wanted to know more. They wanted to know what could this mean. But others, their response was different. They mocked and wrote it off as them being drunk. What we must learn is that we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. God must be glorified, not us. Anything that we need to be effective witnesses for Jesus is found in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict us. The Holy Spirit will cover us. The Holy Spirit will equip us. We discussed the power of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." It is the power of the Holy Spirit that opens up our heart to the truth that God is a holy and righteous God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that enlightens us that we are sinful people who have fallen short of following God's command. And because he convicts us, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we must confess our sins and repent of our sins so that we can live in obedience to him. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we come to know that we are only able to Know that what our sin deserves, that penalty of death forever in hell without the presence of God. However, it was God's great love that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to atone our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh himself, was buried and resurrected on the third day with all power. And it is the power by the Holy Spirit that we are able to believe this truth. But also it is through the Holy Spirit that we must share this truth with others. Today, our prayer for those who are saved by grace, that we will pray that the Holy Spirit will soften and open the eyes of the hearts of those who may not yet understand and have not yet accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If there is someone here listening who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, do not hesitate. Make today the day that you accept Jesus Christ into your life, that you make him Lord of your life. Our loving Father, thank you for this time today that you have given us. I pray that all things that were said was pleasing to you. I pray that we all learn and grow by what was shared. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us and that promise that you fulfilled. Let us rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planner of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays at the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.